to a TRL podcast. Since 2015, government has invested over £200 million to support the development and implementation of automated vehicles. Over that time, we have seen and been part of significant progress and rapid development of automated technology to meet this vision, as well as the development and use of dedicated test beds to test and validate the new technologies. Initially, we saw the focus on technology development with safety as a parallel priority. Increasingly, we are seeing a push for deployment, and the recent Innovate UK projects demonstrated truly autonomous vehicles with all humans out of the vehicle and used only as a remote safety backup. And this year has seen the new regulations and proposed updates to the Highway Code to enable the automated lane keeping systems, as well as future thinking and regulatory proposals from the Law Commission. TRL have been working with the TFT to develop processes to approve automated vehicles prior to deployment. For this podcast, we aim to offer insights into the current work that is being carried out at TRL ahead of an automated vehicle future. To that end, we have gathered a team of experts, including Oliver Howes, Ben Simpson, and Will Perrin. Camilla Fowler sets the scene.
Over recent months, I've been really encouraged to see an increase in public engagement so that we can make sure that actually the use cases we're developing meet the needs of the end users. And during this time, we're repeatedly hearing the question, how safe is safe enough? What do we need to do to get the drivers out of the vehicles? How do we meet the projected benefits of automation? And how can we ensure and maintain road safety? So, Ollie, I know you're particularly interested in test beds, advanced trials, and assuring safety. What do you think the challenges are with removing the driver from vehicles?
Starting back with testing of all types of different transport modes, every different transport node needs to be tested to some level of degree. And typically with our current transport modes, which are operated by human control, the tests are mainly based on sort of functionality. So how well do those transport modes perform when operated by a human operator? And traditionally, those sort of tests can be conducted in a controlled environment, so in a proving ground environment or a test bed somewhere, but away from the public environment. Automated vehicles, on the other hand, are going to have to interact with other road users, and the machine controlling the vehicle itself is going to have to control the vehicle around other road users and be able to cope with those random scenarios that are generated just as we move around our daily lives. So testing of automated vehicles is essential both in a controlled environment like our traditional forms of transport at the moment, but also we need to be able to test those in an uncontrolled environment. So we need to be able to test those in the public domain with other road users, affecting generating scenarios in front of those vehicles as they're operating on the road network. One of the main challenges with automated vehicles is they're not just operating in an environment with other automated vehicles, they're operating with other human-controlled modes of transport and other humans, so pedestrians and cyclists, for example. Although you need to be able to test automated vehicles in that public environment because you get a whole range of different scenarios, it's still going to be impossible to test an automated vehicle in every single scenario that it's going to face in its lifetime of operation. And I think that's where simulation plays a big role in this. So you've got the physical testing side and you've got simulation. Simulation is where you can go and iterate thousands, millions of different tests, millions of different tweaks on scenarios to understand how that model of the vehicle behaves in that virtual environment. But you'll need to be able to test that and validate that in a physical environment.
I know, Will, that you're very interested in safety and have a particular interest in the continued safety of automation during operation. But if we think about the question, how safe is safe enough, How can we even begin to answer that question?
Yeah, so I think how safe is safe enough is a question for everyone. It affects everyone. Everyone using the roads are going to be affected by this technology when it's deployed. So, and that, you know, that's essentially the public, you know, public, different user groups, drivers, users of automated vehicles, pedestrians, they're all going to have a say and have a view on what how safe is safe enough for them and how the risk affects them. So I think ultimately it's on the public to decide how safe is safe enough. And then the responsibility is really on the government to then set that policy based on speaking to the public, engaging with them, education on automated vehicles and ensuring the public understand automated vehicles, and then really setting that target for developers to then start to say how safe is safe enough. So ultimately, I think it is a public acceptance question. How safe is safe enough is ultimately going to be what the public deem is safe enough.
I suppose that sort of need to bring the public along the journey is part of it, and making sure that there is a level of understanding of the technology and being quite transparent with the evidence that we're gathering at places like SMLL to be able to demonstrate that, you know, the technology and automation is safe. But how can we then continue to assure safety? You know, automated vehicles are continuing to learn. We'll go from situations where we have a few automated vehicles to situations where we have the majority of the vehicles in an area being automated. And that brings about different challenges. How do we assure continued safety through the operation of vehicles?
Yeah, so something that we don't tend to do for conventional vehicles is really assess their performance throughout their use. Traditionally, for conventional vehicles, we have an approval scheme. We have a testing program similar to as Ollie discussed, and then we look at assuring that it's safe functionally. It conforms to all of the requirements and regulation, and then you can deploy it on the roads. And ultimately, then the safety is up to the driver. With automated vehicles, the vehicle is the driver. So things like having a driving test, a license, getting points on your license, all controls for a human driver don't work for automated vehicles. So really, we ultimately need a way of monitoring a vehicle, an automated vehicle, while it's being used. And the best way to do that is from the data the automated vehicle collects. So really, at the moment, we're working with the DfT to develop a process for in-use monitoring of automated vehicles. And that's really using the data to try and understand and measure safety performance over time.
What type of things would you be monitoring then as part of this sort of in-use monitoring?
Yeah, so really we want to understand for an automated vehicle, is it behaving safely? Is it behaving in a way that is consistent with local laws? Is it behaving in a way that's consistent with the public expectation of an automated vehicle? So really, we're trying to understand how it drives, essentially. Is it driving in a safe way? Is it causing any accidents? Is it introducing any high-risk scenarios on the road? And is it acting legally? So really, what we're trying to figure out is a method of collecting data that can help inform that.
And I suppose that might then feed into sort of changing the rules, changing the laws, as maybe we have more automated vehicles on the road, more interaction, and the technology matures and we understand more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it probably impacts and feeds back into that validation and testing that we need to do before deployment. So really, I don't know, Ollie, do you see any links between validation pre-deployment and validation during use? Do you think there's a link? Do you think the goals are the same?
I think there absolutely is. So you're going to have to do a series of validation testing prior to deployment to understand that your vehicle is safe enough before public start to consume that and use that as a service or purchase that vehicle, whatever the sort of model is. But I guess it's the continued MOT in a way of, we have MOTs for conventional vehicles at the moment to ensure they're fit for use on the road, but what will that MOT look like in the future, I think, is completely different. With electric vehicles at the moment, the requirements on an MOT are quite different to the requirements on a combustion engine vehicle. So what about when we move to an automated vehicle? There's a huge amount more systems you need to check to ensure that they're safe and reliable, and they're going to last until the next service, the next MOT. So I guess whatever it is called, maybe it's not called an MOT, but whatever it's called, that validation exercise and task will still be there.
Yeah, I agree. I see almost in-use monitoring as an MOT for the behavior of the vehicle, which is, you know, unlike anything we have at the moment. So it's a completely new concept, really. And how do we start to monitor behaviors? As I said, it's almost like having a driving license and getting points on your license for a human driver. We're really trying to monitor their behavior and make sure that it's doing things correctly. So I think, to be honest, there will be an MOT, as you said, for all of the equipment on the vehicle. But when it comes to the driver behavior, that's when we start to move to, you know, doing in-use monitoring.
Yeah, and maybe it's a continual MOT. It's not a period in time where you have to send your vehicle off for its vehicle checks, but you're continually monitoring that vehicle throughout its life cycle. So you understand as soon as you have a glitch, as soon as you have an issue, something that might affect safety or its operational model, that you're picking that up and doing something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has to be continuous in some way, because throughout operation, if you don't have a driver in the vehicle or anyone responsible for monitoring that vehicle, so we're talking SAE level 4 or 5, then I think the public will expect constant oversight of that vehicle and the ability to constantly, continuously understand whether that vehicle is behaving correctly. So I agree. I do think it needs to be a continuous process.
So what's the ambition here, Will? Is the ambition to be as safe as current vehicles on the road or safer? And how do we end up meeting that criteria?
Yeah. So I think as safe as current human drivers, as current vehicles, is probably the absolute minimum. You know, it's unlikely that the public are going to accept a vehicle or technology that is going to increase risk on the roads. So at a very minimum, it has to be the same as current operation, same level of safety. But really, I don't think that target is sufficient or good enough for a new technology. I mean, for years and years, we've all heard CAVs, developers promising the safety benefits of their technology. I think, you know, we're probably all aware that the, you know, common statistic thrown around human error. Human errors obviously contribute to around 90% of road traffic collisions. So by, you know, implicitly removing that human error by having an automated vehicle, we can significantly reduce those number of collisions and fatalities. But really, that is implied at the moment. There's no evidence to suggest that that will be the case and that will truly be safer. So I think what we really need to be doing is setting an ambitious target for safety and then continually monitoring against that. I think that's where in-use monitoring, again, can help regulators to understand safety performance, the developers to understand how their, you know, how their product is being deployed safely, and really essentially improve safety over time.
We will take a pause here. In the next episode, the team will focus on the next step for automated vehicles by discussing how safe is remote driving. Thank you for listening.